are listening to KBUT Community Radio, 90.3 in Crested Butte, 88.9 in Gunnison, and worldwide at KBUT.org. This is Community Matters, KBUT's public affairs program, and I'm your host, Kate Knapp. In this week's episode, we're going to learn more about housing in the Gunnison Valley. You often hear the terms workforce housing or affordable housing, and more often than not, housing is coupled with the word crisis. But today we're going to learn more about Gunnison's first sober living house. Following a years-long effort, this is the city's first sober living house, and it opened its doors earlier this year. It's located in the Palisades neighborhood in the city of Gunnison. We are joined in the studio now with Mary Beth Kelly. She's been spearheading these efforts to open a sober living house, and Phil Bohannon. He serves as the Oxford House's outreach worker, and he helps to manage the home for men seeking sobriety from drugs and alcohol. Mary Beth, Phil, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Oh, thanks for having us, Kate.
Thanks, Kate.
Yeah, so Mary Beth, I wanted to start with you and what spurred the idea of bringing sober living to the Gunnison Valley?
Yeah, it really starts with a personal tragedy. My son, Peyton Kelly, who was living here 2016, I guess, to 2019, he passed away of an overdose here in Crested Butte. Many of you probably remember him. He was a very popular ski instructor for a couple of years. That was his dream coming up here. And he also was a manager at the Majestic Theater back in the 2017-2018. If you didn't know him by name, if you were in the Majestic at all during those couple of years, you'll know what he looked like. He was 6'7", very outgoing personality, hard to miss. Peyton, he was in recovery, had, as I understand it, I realized when he was diagnosed with cancer in December of 2018, he had actually started drinking again while he was here. So technically we would call that a relapse. But he was still clean from opioids, which was what he was struggled with so mightily in Texas. But having a sober living environment was a huge part of his recovery while he was in Texas. And I realized there was not one here. I'm not saying that would have saved his life. He overdosed over opioids that he was prescribed as part of his to deal with the pain of his cancer treatment. And he passed away of an overdose 3 days after he finished his final chemo treatment. So don't understand why or how that happened, but we went to work, my husband and I did. First of all, we became full-time residents here. For us, having a chance to heal by being around the people that knew him the last part of his life was really healing for us. And, you know, I think we helped his closest friends with their grief process as well. We just, you know, sort of were able to hug each other and grieve together. The first thing we took on actually was a memorial scholarship, ski scholarship in his name. That's we did that in partnership with Crested Butte Snow Sports Foundation. And the goal of that scholarship is really to provide children in the valley that lives here an opportunity to learn to ski. So it's focused on kids in the cruisers, mini cruisers, and mountain adventures programs. And that's been very gratifying for us. That was his favorite thing to do, was teach kids for 13 weeks at a time. And a lot of those kids have stayed in touch with us. So that was task one. Task two was getting the Majestic reopened. When it closed and the business went under during COVID, we worked with some of his closest friends as part of that, really a community effort to get that theater reopened. So we've taken great pride in this. But this sober living home thing has been on my heart for probably a from about the time I started getting involved with the efforts here in Gunnison County around the GRASP Consortium. If you guys are familiar with that, it really is focused on, and it's a consortium of, you know, county, Gunnison Valley Health, the mental health, CBSOM, you know, the efforts here really have all grouped together to see what can we do around prevention, treatment, recovery, and harm reduction for people who are suffering with substance abuse issues. This lack of a sober living environment, and sober living, if you're not familiar with it, really just means a place, a home, that is drug and alcohol free. And Phil can talk more about that, but it's, you know, people who are working on that together, living together. And I really feel like that having that available in Texas, where Payton went through his rehab and started his recovery journey, I really think it saved his life. I would say rehab saved his life, but also being able to go from that into a sober living environment. He was very successful in that. It gave him a whole new set of running buddies. That hole here, it just took a while to try to figure out how to address that here with the economics, make it very difficult to, you know, establish a home. Even the small community attract a commercial company that does that for a living, and I have a lot of respect for those kind of companies that are doing that well. And I don't know, it just took a while to figure out how to address that here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Phil, can you explain, like you said, what sober living really means? How does this house work?
Yeah, so specifically with Oxford House, we offer a safe and supportive atmosphere that people who are in recovery from addiction or alcoholism to live. And we hold each other accountable. We encourage that all forms of recovery, whether it's AA, NA, counseling, mindfulness and recovery, there's just plenty of paths out there. We do ask that members of the house are practicing a program of recovery. So that's kind of the main basis there.
And how did you get involved in the Oxford House?
Myself, I'm a recovering fentanyl addict and recovering alcoholic. And I struggled with relapsing a lot over and over for about 10 years. And I couldn't really make it over the hump of getting more than like a year sober. And I couldn't figure out why. And I've explored way deeper in that on my personal self. But but Oxford House, I found Oxford House because I really wanted something to kind of have an extra addition to what my recovery was than just going to meetings or therapy. So once I got into Oxford House, it really changed my whole outlook on recovery. I had people around me. I come home from work every day. They're going through the same thing I go through, and they understand what I'm going through. So that was really, excuse me, the basis of like taking my recovery to the next level. And then I was in an Oxford House for about a year and a half, and then a position came open to work for Oxford House as an outreach worker on the Western Slope. So I had lived here in Crested Butte and Gunnison back in 2015, moved to the Front Range, long story short, got a job with Oxford House, and then someone down there in Gunnison or Grand Junction told me about a woman up here that wanted to open an Oxford House up here, or a sober living house. And so she got in touch with us and invited us up to her house. We sat there in her living room one night and kind of all told each other our stories, and just everything clicked. And we all have the same objective here, and I think we all have each other's best interests on why we wanted to be in this together. So, and then just the ball just started rolling, and I'll let her take over from there.
Well, I mean, somebody mentioned Oxford House to me as something I should look into, as, you know, because of the issue of trying to attract a commercial company into a community this small. And it took me a while to get my head around their model, but they have an amazing track record. I mean, they've been doing what they do for 50 years. They have over 3,000 homes. They don't own the homes. They lease them. So part of what I had to figure out is, okay, how are we going to get a house to lease to them? But they have an amazing track record of success with the model that they're using. The economics, you know, what we ended up doing was I'm a member of Bethany Baptist Church there in Gunnison, and they've been blessed with a lot of financial blessing, and we're praying over what to do with that money. I'm like, I know, I got an idea. And so I did approach the church first about let's pool together a significant enough amount of money that we can buy a home and then have the mortgage something that Oxford House can cover with six or eight guys in a house at a, you know, a reasonable a level of rent that they felt was achievable for the members in their experience. And so that's what we did. I mean, we started with Bethany. We have got a lot of donations from individuals that made a, you know, have a heart for this and you know, put their money where their heart is. And then towards the end of the year, we found this house that was just a perfect floor plan for what we needed to do. This nonprofit that we had formed out to do this, which we call Gunnison Sanctuary Housing, wasn't quite there in terms of what we needed to, you know, make the house work and put down enough to make the rent work for these guys. So, you know, we needed a certain amount by the end of the year, and kind of I got a call out of the blue from the Community Foundation of Gunnison Valley, Lauren. You guys probably know her. And she called me and said, what's going on with this sober house that you're trying to do? Because she and I had talked several months before, and I said, I need this chunk of money before the end of the year. And she said, okay, let me see what I can find. And she worked with a fund that works with the Community Foundation called the Inner Fund, and they came up with the rest of the money we needed, and so we were off and running. So that's how we kind of solved the financial puzzle, was with this nonprofit. And you know, put a lease in place with Oxford House so that they could start occupying the house January 15th. So it's been open since January 15th. Phil can talk about the number of guys there, but you know, we're still working away to get the basement remodeled so that we can have them hit the capacity that we've agreed to. I did want to make sure people understand we have bigger plans than this. We have other plans than this, because this one home won't address the need in the valley. So, you know, we're still looking for grant money, you know, donations that will help us, you know, pay off this home, use this rent for, you know, acquiring another one. I don't think we found the only people in this valley. I can tell you the statistics are, you know, that there's a couple of thousand people at least in this valley that struggle with SUD, 500 probably in some form of treatment or in recovery. There's a big need. I think we all know that.
Yeah. And like you said, we are hearing a lot about these struggles, and especially here in resort communities like the Gunnison Valley. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why is sober living specifically important to recovery?
Yeah. So the thing I loved about Oxford House is that it's democratically self-supporting. So every member of the house has an equal voice. Everyone has kind of an equal share of the workload. We all have different house positions. We run it kind of like a small little government, but we're all like working in this together. It's a community. It's a bond. And, you know, I've always heard this term, the opposite of addiction is connection. And I've always kept that with me because I really feel that's true. Like feeling you are a part of something bigger than yourself is really, I mean, it's hands down worked since 1935, since 12 Steps started. That's been kind of the whole thing, like trying to help people feel a part of something that's bigger than themselves and being a part of a community. And so,
and you're not trying to work on it in the closet, you know, behind closed doors, right, where, you know, by yourself. I think that's so important. You get a new set of running buddies that are all working on the same thing together. If you get out of rehab or jail or wherever, and you know you're sober by choice or you know forced, and you go right back into the same environment you came from, that's tough, man. I don't, you know, very people true. Don't make it that way.
No, yeah. No. And another thing is that like, we're always there for each other, which is really cool. And also we hold each other accountable. So it kind of empowers the members of the house to take an active role in not only their recovery, but other people's recovery. And we also we try to volunteer in the area where we live and give back to the community that we're in and become a part of that community as well. We're not just our little house community. We're also active in the entire community. So, and it's been pretty incredible here, the outpouring of support from the recovery community and the community at large in both Crested Butte and Gunnison has been just phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it, to be honest with you, with the 2 years I've been with Oxford House. So there's something special about this place. And I think that it speaks volumes about people realizing that, you know, the stigma of addiction is being lifted, and people start to realize that, like, you know, the solution to, you know, this whole epidemic of addiction is not putting people in prison. It's about getting people into recovery and turning things around for people, you know, and not throwing them away. So it's been tremendous coming here. It's helped me personally, and it's also just been just really cool to see all this happening. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I definitely like how you said that the opposite of addiction is connection. You know, I had never really thought about that before, but I think, like you said, just working towards, you know, ending the stigma of even talking about mental health issues or substance abuse issues is really important.
Yeah, mental health issues goes right along with it. I think, you know, not all substance abuse issues are mental health issues, but there is a lot of it kind of crossing over. I mean, myself personally, and most people I know have some form of, you know, something kind of struggle they have with mental health issues. So, yeah, I mean, and it's important that we are talking about this now and not just hiding it off somewhere. So, yeah.
And I know when I read about Peyton's story as well, like he talked about, you know, basically sharing your story and being open mm-hmm. about your journey. How did that, you know, help him through these kind of moments?
Yeah, you know, he was, as a parent, you know, admitting that you have a son that was a heroin addict, probably one of the biggest heroin addicts because he was a big guy, but, you know, that the people in his rehab or the medical people that we were engaged with had ever seen. He lived his recovery out loud. He felt very strongly that, you know, the anonymity of AA is important to protect for people who want to stay anonymous. But from his perspective, if you don't talk about it, you can't help anybody. And he was very much lived out his recovery by looking to help others. And I know there's people here in Crested Butte that he served in that way. So as a parent, it helped us, you know, learn to be outspoken about it as well and not be embarrassed about it, not, you know, look at it as something that's a condition, a disease. It's, you know, something that, you know, is the behavior might need to be punished, but the disease does not. And so that's something we took on as parents. He actually decided to appear on a news, network news in Austin, Texas, where we were from, talking about in support of sober living in a dormitory in the University of Texas. And we got a lot of calls, and so did he, from his high school friends, from high school parents who called us that knew him, because he played football at the University of Texas. He was a known entity in Austin. So when he spoke out about it, people were willing to come forward and ask for help. And I've personally always been willing to talk to another parent, that is struggling with this. I want them to know who we are and how to reach us. If we can help anybody, then we're more than open to that.
Yeah.
And I know it feels that way too, but not everybody who struggles with substance abuse is, and that's fine, but we need to talk about this. We need to make it okay for people to ask for help and have their struggles and, forgive them and, help them start over and, move on to being successfully in recovery.
And you talked too about the success of these types of sober living houses. Mm-hmm. Like you said,
Oxford House in particular, I'm talking about. I mean, I'm sure that in general, they are very successful. It's a very successful model for people that, are working a program and moving forward in their recovery. So it is a very successful model in general. But the statistics, I'm familiar with are Oxford Houses now because, that's who we opted. I don't want to make it sound like this was our only option, but honestly, in Gunnison, I felt like this was our only option. And I was very happy to see, how this organization runs and, their approach and that it's successful.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like you said, this house is up and running, mm-hmm. and we have residents that are now living within this, Oxford House. What's next?
Well, I'm one of those residents, and we are trying to fill the house up right now. And we'd like to see a women's house in the valley. Something that we're really looking into very much so. I don't want to say too much more because it's very preliminary right now, but that is something we are heavily trying to get going right now. Obviously, there's not just men who struggle in this valley. There are women, and I get asked that question every week, and I really want there to be a women's house too.
Yeah.
And if both houses are successful, then maybe we can look at opening a house up here in Crested Butte if the economics were right. But if not, we could open another house in Gunnison. But the thing that's been really that I've learned the most about Oxford House since I started working for them back in October, I moved over to Grand Junction and saw how they model. And it's not like they just grow. It's when there is a need for more. When there's a house fills up and there starts to be a waiting list, well, we need to go open another house for those people that are on that waiting list. And that's kind of how we go. We're not trying to grow for economic reasons. We're all self-supporting. Each house supports itself. They pay their own rent. All the members just support each other. There's not a profit-based approach to this whatsoever. It's all community-based. It just all depends on, I think it's going to do well, and I think we will get a women's house here pretty soon, hopefully. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Oxford House is a nonprofit. Gunnison Sanctuary Housing is a nonprofit. They're focused on helping the people in those homes be successful in their recovery. We're focused on trying to provide the housing where it's needed, when it's needed, and the type of house that's needed for them to succeed in this valley.
And you mentioned too that, folks can literally stay there for 1 week, well, you know, multiple years.
Hopefully not.
As long as they want. Yeah. I mean, that's how Oxford House has always run since 1975. The first Oxford House was started by two guys that were getting kicked out of a halfway house because it was getting shut down, and they didn't know what else to do. So they found a guy to lease them a house that was right next door, and that was the first Oxford House. And so that's kind of, that's the same model that we run on to this day. And, yeah, we just go by, you know, like, if the need's there, we're going to do it, you know. It's and I know that, you know, addiction, it's only getting worse right now, and especially with fentanyl, and there's a lot of people dying out there. And so I think it's really important that we are having these conversations, and, you know, because it's affecting everyone, and whether it's alcoholism or fentanyl or meth or whatever, you know, it affects everybody in one way or another. And so I think we need to all just realize that there is a different solution out there. It's helping others. It's all about helping others. And I think it helps communities build stronger. So, yeah.
Mary Beth, anything else you'd like to add or folks to know?
I think it would be helpful for people who own homes in this valley and are thinking about leasing them. If you have a heart for providing for people who are in recovery from substance abuse, you don't need us in the middle. You can lease directly to Oxford House, and you know, I'm happy to, you know, facilitate that. You know, and I think, I think it's important that be available as an option for people who want to have a clean and sober living environment and not have alcohol in their face all the time, not have, you know, drugs in the home.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we had even talked about earlier, just the fact of like working in a restaurant, you're exposed to alcohol, you know, being in this community, we have our cannabis shops, and it's the culture.
There's just not a lot to do in Gunnison County in the evenings other than go to a bar or, you know, restaurant. And it's tough, you know, for I think that's why Peyton started drinking again here. He really always had a desperate need to feel accepted. And, you know, he wanted to be one of the crowd. It, you know, it didn't feel okay to him to not drink here. And I'm not saying that's, you know, ultimately what caused his demise, but he was going to get himself in trouble here. He was an alcoholic just because he beat the big bad, you know, the big bad opioid bug doesn't mean that other substances are okay. And so I think we as a community, one of the things we can do, put said housing aside, is make it okay. If somebody doesn't want to drink, make that okay.
Yeah. Phil, anything else you'd like to add? Any advice for folks who might be seeking out help?
Yeah, well, I'll just add to what y'all were just talking about. It's really nice to see some organizations here like GRASP and CB State of Mind starting to have events that are alcohol and drug-free events, family-friendly events, stuff like the free movie nights and stuff. And that's really cool that there's things that are starting to kick off like that. I think in the summertime there's going to be a lot more opportunities to do stuff like that as well. But, yeah, as far as, like, if anyone out there is struggling with alcohol or drugs or mental health, you can reach out. If you're interested in sober living, you can go to oxfordvacancies.com, and that will give you a listing of houses. It gives you phone numbers you can call. Oxford House is pretty much, they have their own website. So, if you just check it out.
Anything else, you guys?
I think that'll do it for us.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. You can learn more, like Phil said, about the Oxford House at oxfordhouse.org. And if you'd like to learn more about the Peyton Castles Kelly Memorial Fund, you can visit ilovesnow.org. Thank you guys so much for coming in today and joining us.
Thank you.
Sharing your story.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. You are listening to Community Matters. Next Monday from 4 to 5 p.m., you will hear the KBU Teens and Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Regional Roundup from 4 to 5 p.m. Stay tuned for NPR's All Things Considered from 5 to 7. That is followed by Bobby's World. We have Brian filling in for Bobby Digital from 7 to 9 p.m. Then we have Fresh Tracks with Grant Hooning from 9 to 11. Thanks for tuning in.